Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
If you're a parent whose kid has ever been constipated, you know how difficult this subject is to wrap your head around. You know, some children can go 2 or 3 days without having a bowel movement, which seems awfully painful to me, but it's normal for some kids. While some kids must go every day, we're talking about the generals of constipation, and it's a really, really common condition in children. My guest today is Dr. Manu Sooth. He's professor and chief in the Division of Pediatric Gastroenterology at the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sooth. So first off, how do we know if a child is constipated, and how do we know what is normal for them to, you know, go poop on a daily basis?
So, hi, Melanie. As you mentioned, the frequency of bowel movements in children can be quite variable. Most children should have at least 3 or 4 bowel movements at least a week. Missing an odd day is okay. The other symptom of constipation can be pain during bowel movements. Sometimes children will pass really hard and large caliber stools. So these are the 3 main symptoms of constipation in children.
So when do we see a doctor about it? First, parents are going to start saying, well, I'm not giving them enough fiber, or maybe they're having too much, you know, junk food or too much milk or too much anything that might possibly contribute. Parents, we go through all these different thoughts, Dr. Sooth. So when do we see a doctor? When does it become something that you really want checked out?
So I think parents can try and optimize the fluid and fiber intake in their child's diet. And if constipation is not getting better and they have persistent symptoms, then I would recommend that they probably should seek some medical help. And delaying seeking medical help can be counterproductive at times.
What is the consequences of not treating it? If we just say as they grow older, you know, they'll be able to poop better. I mean, this has happened to my son, who's now 14, and now it's very regular, but he was, but sometimes went 7 days, and we were worried all the time. It was like all we thought about was this kid pooping, and now, of course, it's nice and normal, but what are the consequences if a parent does not do anything?
So I think children who have chronic constipation or chronic experiences of passing large, hard-caliber stools, which are really, really painful, then they start avoiding heavy bowel movements, what we call retentive behavior. So they will squeeze their cheeks, and when they feel the urge to go to the toilet rather than going and passing the bowel movement, they try and hold it in. And that can lead to what we call impaction. And some children, when they get impacted, they develop what we call overflow incontinence, where the liquid stool is just seeping all the time. And this can then become a chronic issue. The other problem can be passing large caliber stools. Sometimes children can tear the bottom and have what we call anal fissure, which are very painful. So you don't want your child to be going through this day in, day out. So if things are not getting better, seeking medical help is the right thing to do.
You just described exactly what my son used to do. He used to walk around screaming, trying to hold it in so that he wouldn't go because he thought it would hurt or he didn't want to. This is more common in boys, correct?
I wouldn't say it's more common in boys. It can happen both in boys and girls. And I think children, what they do is that they have a maladaptive kind of response to pain during bowel movement. So children, in their own mind, you know, if anything is painful, they want to avoid that. That's the way the child's brain is programmed. So as a parent, what we need to do is to make sure that we can give them laxatives or make dietary and fluid, optimize the fluid intake. So bowel movements become painless for the child. So they don't withhold, because if they chronically withhold, then it can become a issue, long-term issue.
Now, when we were younger, we tried Miralax with my son, and there's been some, you know, information about it in the media lately. What should concerned parents know about Miralax now, Dr. Sooth?
So Melanie, Miralax is one of the commonest laxative which we use in children. And there are several studies which have looked at the short-term efficacy of Miralax, and it's one of the most effective laxatives for treating childhood constipation. And I use it very commonly in most of my patients. I think some of the concerns have come up with chronic use of Miralax, or what I should call long-term use of Miralax. So if you look at the published studies, most of them have looked at the efficacy and side effects of Miralax over a short period of time, which would be 2 or 3 months. There is, I think, one study which has looked at a one-year side effect profile of Miralax. I think one of the concerns is that if you use Miralax long-term in children, there isn't much published data. But most of the gastroenterologists will say that they have used it long-term, and their experience has been quite positive. We don't see any side effects. But that doesn't mean that in a rare child, there may be some side effects which we are not aware of. So I think that's been one of the concerns. And FDA has actually asked Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to do a study to look at the safety of Miralax in children over long-term use.
Well, I think as parents, you know, I was concerned myself that it was maybe depleting my child of nutrients. But it's not really doing that, is it? It's not taking nutrients out of the body while it's softening up the stools, is it?
No, it isn't. As far as I know, there is no effect on nutrient absorption. But Miralax, and all it does is it retains the water which you take with Miralax in the bowel. So it's kind of flushing the whole bowel. Most of the Miralax which you take is passed in the stool, undigested or unabsorbed. So it doesn't actually go into the body from what we know. I think whether there is small amount of Miralax which could leak into the body under unusual conditions, such as if you have inflammation in the bowel or if your child has any other medical problems which may alter the absorption profile of your bowel. So those are the kind of things which I think need to be looked into. But in a child who has straightforward constipation, using Miralax short-term should be a fairly safe and effective way to treat constipation.
In just the last minute, please, Dr. Sooth, give your best advice for parents, you know, that are listening that would come into you and say, my child is constipated, what do I do about it?
So, as I said, I think optimizing the fiber intake and making sure your child is drinking enough fluid. If that is not working, then I think seeing your pediatrician or a gastroenterologist and getting advice from them. Apart from Miralax, there are other laxatives such as lactulose and milk of magnesia and liquid paraffin, which are also effective in treating childhood constipation. So you can discuss what options you have with your pediatrician or your gastroenterologist. The other piece of advice would be that a lot of times parents will give laxatives for a short period of time and then they discontinue them because of concerns of giving medicines long-term. That in the long-term can be counterproductive, because once you stop the laxatives, you go back to having infrequent and painful bowel movements, which then becomes a kind of a vicious cycle. So having follow-up with your pediatrician or a gastroenterologist is extremely important. Listen to what they tell you and don't discontinue laxatives prematurely.
Great information. You know, we love our poop talk here on Healthy Children. Parents, you know, this is an important part of every child's day and every person's day. So here we are talking about it on Radio MD. The show is Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.